Cold days, big goals, and no time to cook. That's exactly why I've been leaning on Factor lately. They make healthy eating easy with fully prepared meals that are designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs, so you can eat well without planning, shopping, or cooking. What I really like is what goes into these meals. We're talking quality ingredients, lean proteins, colorful vegetables, whole foods, and healthy fats. There's no refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, and no refined seed oils. The meals are built to support real goals, whether that's higher protein, better calorie management, or just eating healthier without overthinking it. For me personally, my favorite meal this week has been the truffle butter chicken with mushroom risotto and garlic roasted green beans. That's from their high protein menu, and honestly, it tastes like something you'd get from a really good home cooked dinner. Not at all like something you'd heat up in just 2 minutes. And that convenience is why Factor works for my routine. I've been taking Factor meals to school every day for lunch lately because, well, they're so simple. They're always fresh, never frozen, ready in about 2 minutes, no prep, no stress. They also keep things interesting with around 100 rotating weekly meals, including high protein, calorie smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, ready-to-eat salads, and the new Muscle Pro collection that supports strength and recovery. Listen, I can't say this any more clearly. I eat Factor about 5 days a week. Becky eats it, and I think you should too. So head to factormeals.com/truth50off and use code truth50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only, varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box for 1 year while subscription is active. One more time, that's factormeals.com/truth50off and use code truth50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year.
Busted appliance? This is your sign to upgrade. Shop at Lowe's to get up to 35% off and next day delivery on hundreds of major appliances. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 3/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location. Order by 4 p.m. Available Monday through Saturday. Subject to availability. Fees, exclusions, and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/appliance delivery for more details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
NBI Studios, this is Truth and Justice, a crowdsourced investigation in real time. I'm Bob Ruff.
Ahoy, friends. Thank you for tuning in to Truth and Justice. You are listening to the Friday follow-up for Season 17, Episode 25. This week, we got to hear from Chris Bynum himself from our Season 17 case. This episode was heartwarming as well as heartbreaking at the same time, and it truly puts into perspective why we're doing this work. Today, I'm joined by Bob and Janet, and I cannot wait to discuss this episode with them. But before we get into that, I have one thing I need to say. Bob, from myself and the listeners, truly thank you for putting this episode together. Episodes like this really show us the importance of why we're doing this work and how important this is to these people. And it's so easy to forget that these are real people and the real world implications that come from these cases that you're working on. So thank you.
Well, thank you for that. It was a very meaningful, impactful episode to me, for me too, to actually get to one's secrets. That's a weird thing to say, but like for example, Jesse Eldridge, like I've talked to him on the phone 100 times. I've never, like, I've seen pictures of him, but I've never like met him in person. Right. Or the same thing with, you know, Jamie Snow, Sandy Melgar, a lot of these people, we've had these conversations, and because the lawyers were able to arrange this, I got to actually have a Zoom call with them. So I got to, obviously not in the room with them, but it was just, I don't know, it was a really, really great experience for me to be able to like feel that much more connected to Chris when I spoke to him, and to see the emotion on his face and just everything, you know, the interview, I think I mentioned in the intro, it kind of took me back a bit. It wasn't, you know, for some reason, and we'll get into this. I know there's a question about it. And I want to, you know, circle through you guys first before we do that, but it was just, there were so many things that I just didn't expect, I talk to so many people that are wrongfully convicted in prison, and there's always kind of the same, you know, kind of theme. You know, I'm doing my best here. I have a life, and I'm positive. It reminded me a lot of Jamie Snow. You know, where Jamie has said, you know, like you know, his nachos that he has because he refused to eat the holiday meal in prison. So I guess it wasn't that, but it, I don't know, for whatever reason, it just wasn't what I was expecting. But before I know I told you guys there was no housekeeping. I do want to just one little thing. I want to let you guys know a lot of the, I'm getting lots and lots of listener requests for guests. Keep sending those in. I'm reaching out to several of them. We've got one of them or two of them actually going to be on this Sunday, but just know that pretty much everyone that anyone has suggested, I've reached out to. So I'm hoping to hear back from more of them in the next week. So keep sending those along. And with that being said, what did you think of the episode, Janet?
I really appreciate it. And I really appreciate what you said, Zach. I totally agree. You know, it was, I realized as I was listening to it, I realized that I was like clenching my fists for a lot of it. Just not because I was uncomfortable or that I was, you know, it's just the feeling that I think for all of the listeners who are have such empathy and are drawn to this kind of work because they are so empathetic and they can, in like you said in the episode, we can't possibly imagine, but there are people who really are willing to try or are just able to feel that very deep compassion for someone who is in the situation. And I bet I'm not the only one who was just kind of like wound up hearing from Chris himself and just feeling the weight of the conviction and feeling the stress and impatience of like having my fist balled up. Like, this is so hard. This is so hard, you know?
I didn't listen after the facts. So I don't know if it came through, but like I found myself getting emotional like repeatedly throughout the, and I think it was because I was, you know, I was seeing him. It was like this case, this set of facts, this bank of data that we've been working with, you know, for over the last year on his case. You know, part of the way I do my job is I just, you know, I dive in. I just had somebody at school ask me the other day, like, how do you deal with this? All the like the people and the things and murder. And I was like, I have to like turn it into like data and analyze it that way, because I can't I can't let myself get attached to the people, because then it becomes a whole different thing that I'm not built for it. It affects me too much. But then when all of that information then becomes this person that's sitting in front of me that I'm talking to, that I can see his face and I can see the emotions and the reactions on his face. It was like a punch to the gut over and over and over again for me having that conversation.
Well, I know the thing that broke me, and there's so much more to talk about, but the thing that absolutely broke me in the episode, and I'm trying not to get upset even saying it, when he said, I was out 21 years and I've been in 26. It's fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah.
Heartbreaking. Like it just, to think that, you know, you were talking about your discussion with him with, talking about Ed Ates and when Ed Ates got out and how the world has evolved so much. And to think that like Chris has spent more time in prison than he was spent out, and that so much of life has passed, so much things have advanced that he hasn't seen yet. Talking about not spending time with his children. I mean, just.
Or losing your parent.
Yeah. Things we take for granted that all of us take for granted, I think, so much. And it was as heartwarming as this episode was, it was also heartbreaking. Truly, I said it in the intro, but I mean it. Like, I loved hearing from Chris, and it makes me want to fight so much harder for him and everybody else that's in there, because it's tough. It's really tough.
And there's so much nuance that was going on. And that's kind of why I put the little preempt to the little intro that I put in beforehand, because like, the tragedy of it is deeper than what you were hearing, in the fact that, for example, Chris has so many people in his life that have stuck with him, that are there fighting for him every day, that still believe in him. And I know that he wants to talk about that. You know what I mean? I know that he wants to share that and be able to. Part of what was hurting me throughout it was I could see that he's holding back. Like he's calculating every word that he says.
Mm. Yeah.
And he's doing that because he knows that this murderer is out there. And so he can't even, when he gets the chance to speak, to be heard, he still can't, you know, he's still, you know, you could, what, you know, Erica, like I said, I didn't listen to the finished product. It was rough going through it. And I haven't brought myself to listen to it again after it was done. I'm sure she did a beautiful job of like making it flow. But in the, like in the moment, there's a lot of these like pauses and it's almost and like you could just see, I would ask him something, I would prompt him with something, and you could just see him calculating, like, what can I say? Like, what can I, what do I want? It's like what I read on him was, this is what I want to say. This is what is not safe for me to say. This is what I can't say. This is all I can say. And then he would come through with these kind of short responses. And that in and of itself is heartbreaking to me. Like, because it's just one, because also part of that is he's extremely intelligent. He's smart and he's street smart. He knows what he can and can't put out into the public and keep people safe. And just having to live like that just adds this whole other layer onto everything else.
I really, really felt that as well. And the idea that you have been blamed for something that you are not responsible for, and because you are locked up, you can't protect the people that you love physically. The idea that the only way you can protect people is by being silent, it's really hard. That's really hard to imagine. Imagine yourself in a position where the people you care about most, the most you can do for them is not talk about them, to stay silent, to keep them safe. That feels, I guess that's part of why my fists were so clenched. It just feels, you feel the feeling of being trapped in a whole new way, I think, when you think about it that way.
Well, I think so often when we hear interviews like this, we are hesitant to hear what they have, or not to hesitate to hear what they have to say, but when we think they're being hesitant, it's because we think they're holding back on the legal side. They can't say something because it'll hurt their case. It'll hurt the legal side of their case. But so much of this was sheer safety, and that, again, is very overwhelming to hear.
And that the legal side of it is another layer of it. So imagine you've been falsely accused of something, had your freedom stolen away from you. And because you know, like, I mean, I don't know Chris, but I feel like I'm safe to assume that he wants to scream from the rooftops. Everything, here's all the reasons I can tell you why I didn't do this. Here's all the, this is what I was actually doing that night. This is, you know, all the things that you want to say. And then because of those legal restraints, you can't do that either.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you sit there and you don't have a voice. You have no way to be heard by anyone. And then when you finally get an opportunity to be heard, you have to be considering all of that in everything that you say, in order for you to maybe have a chance to get out. And like Janet, you said, like him not being able to protect his family, and the only way to do that is to keep silent. That's particularly hard. I think, you know, everybody's wired a little differently. I feel like I have, you know, that same kind of wiring. I'm kind of fiercely protective of my family too. And he just, the way he's wired, I'm certain that is especially hard on him.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I had the same reaction as well. I mean, to your point, you know, another case that we've spent so much time with on this show is Hay and Adnan, and his experience of finding community in prison was one of the ways that kept him strong. And this is a really good reminder that everybody's different, and where you draw your strength from, where you find you can be strong, or what helps you be strong, may not look the same for everyone. Because, you know, when he's talking about not having any friends in there, you know, of course I flashed to Adnan. I thought, oh, but Adnan has so much community there that he felt terrible about leaving because he wanted to bring all of these people with him. And that was part of where he got his strength. But that doesn't have to be the same place that Chris gets his strength. If his strength is from feeling like he's keeping himself safe and that he has God on his side and he has his people on the outside, of course, your initial response is like, oh, that sounds so lonely. But that's our interpretation of it. And where people get their strength from, I respect whatever that looks like. If it's, you know, if it's right for them and they're not hurting anybody, like I have tremendous respect for where you find that place, you know?
Yeah. But like for me at the same time too, though, like I have a hard time feeling that it is lonely. You know what I mean? To not have people that you can trust. And again, it comes down to just the way his mind works. You know, we hear it all the time from the outside, right? We know like, how many jailhouse snitch cases do we have, and how many people are always willing to cut a deal, and how many, and you see that and to then, you know, cause I don't know if he'd like to be close with people and have friends in prison while he's there to at least, you know, make it a little easier on him. But if it is, then that's just another, there's another layer to it is in order to keep myself safe and have a chance to get out of here, I can't make connections like that.
Cold days, big goals, and no time to cook. That's exactly why I've been leaning on Factor lately. They make healthy eating easy with fully prepared meals that are designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs, so you can eat well without planning, shopping, or cooking. What I really like is what goes into these meals. We're talking quality ingredients, lean proteins, colorful vegetables, whole foods, and healthy fats. There's no refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, and no refined seed oils. The meals are built to support real goals, whether that's higher protein, better calorie management, or just eating healthier without overthinking it. For me personally, my favorite meal this week has been the truffle butter chicken with mushroom risotto and garlic roasted green beans. That's from their high protein menu, and honestly, it tastes like something you'd get from a really good home-cooked dinner. Not at all like something you'd heat up in just 2 minutes. And that convenience is why Factor works for my routine. I've been taking Factor meals to school every day for lunch lately because, well, they're so simple. They're always fresh, never frozen, ready in about 2 minutes, no prep, no stress. They also keep things interesting with around 100 rotating weekly meals, including high protein, calorie smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, ready-to-eat salads, and the new Muscle Pro collection that supports strength and recovery. Listen, I can't say this any more clearly. I eat Factor about 5 days a week. Becky eats it, and I think you should too. So head to factormeals.com/truth50off and use code truth50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only, varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box for 1 year while subscription is active. One more time, that's factormeals.com/truth50off and use code truth50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year.
Bethany Frankel here from Just Be with Bethany Frankel, and I am just going to say it. The drinks aisle needs an intervention. Too many bottles and cans, all promising health and wellness, but after a glug, you just shrug and you still feel out of sync. Then there's Synergy Kombucha, the real kombucha, the real deal, made the right way for real benefits and real results you can see and feel. I love it. Synergy supports your mind and body through your gut with 9 billion living probiotics in refreshing flavors you will live for. Synergy makes kombucha with a superior craft fermentation process that delivers a delicious taste and all those probiotics. They're the good bacteria that support your body, mind, and even your skin. You're welcome. Because when your microbiome is in balance, you're back in sync and back in charge. That is what you get when your kombucha is made the right way. Don't chase fads. Don't fall for modern soda hype. Choose standards. DM at Synergy Kombucha on Instagram with the code THEREALKOMBUCHA to get a free bottle while supplies last. Synergy, the kombucha with standards.
Are you a fraud-paying American? It's a fact that 1 in 4 honest, hardworking, tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity theft. With LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, though, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, and get you your money back. Last year, the IRS flagged over $16 billion in refunds for identity fraud. That's billions of dollars that could come from your salary, overtime, or second job. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. LifeLock monitors millions of data points per second for your personal information and alerts you to threats you could easily miss on your own. And if your information does fall into the wrong hands, only LifeLock has U.S.-based restoration specialists who are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart and save up to 40% your first year. That's 40% off at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
Well, I think there are a lot of shared sentiments in the handful of posts that we got about this. I do see a question that I want to make sure we hit on here in the chat before the feed slides away. I'm looking at Alexis's question. Has Chris been able to listen to any of the episodes about his case? Or maybe he can, but doesn't want to.
Can't listen to them. Typically in prison, they don't have access to the internet, so not able to listen to them. We do have our awesome team of volunteer transcribers that transcribe the episodes. I'll have to check. Typically, they kind of run things. Erica Cantor kind of heads that up, and she's got a whole team. Kathy McElhinney, who I shouldn't start naming because I'm not going to forget something. They're all in the credits.
In the credits.
But you know, typically somebody will take it on and they'll mail them transcripts of it. I haven't heard from Chris whether he's, you know, I don't know if they're sending them to him, if he's reading them, if he's interested. He knows what's going on for sure from our conversation, like before we were recording. Like he's very aware of the work that we're doing and what has been discussed on the podcast. I don't know if that's from him reading it or just from, you know, the attorneys or Dr. Jackson or somebody, you know, sharing with him what's happening.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if Dr. Jackson was keeping him apprised because she's so passionate about it and is also, you know, worked with you on another case and all that good stuff. Britta says, and this is very much along the lines of what Zach was feeling. Britta says, I don't have any questions, but my heart broke for Chris, especially when he talked about how he was on the outside for 21 years and on the inside for 26. It sounds like he was doing all the right things and these cops and prosecutors literally stole his life.
Yeah. And there, when you look at his story, you know, I have my son just on Saturday just turned 21. So it really kind of hit home with me like that. That's the age, right? My kid, that's how old Chris was when this happened. And, you know, he, as he said, he had some bumps in the road when he was younger, but then he was like, it's always tragic, but it's so much worse when you know that, like, he was taking all the steps to send his life down the path that he wanted to go. You know, he had his apprenticeship he was doing, you know, his girlfriend was finishing school, then they had plans to move away, you know, get out of Gary. And that's a lot of times in some of these neighborhoods where there is a lot of crime, and Gary is certainly one. Sometimes you just gotta get away. I think back to a lot of my old students back when I used to substitute teach at the juvenile detention center here and at the School for Emotionally Impaired Students here in our county. I'm friends on Facebook with some of my old students who are like in their late 20s now. And it's like all of them that have really like made something out of their life, that this had tragic childhoods growing up, a lot of them that were caught in bad situations, all of them that are like doing well, they're out, you know, they're working, they have families, they're living their lives. Every single one of them got out of here. They got away. You know, a lot of them lived in Benton Harbor where Jody's case was from, and they were kind of trapped in that same cycle that we heard so much about that goes on in that community. And when they were able to get out and get away from it, then, you know, they were able to thrive after that. And that was ringing in the back of my head when Chris was talking about their plan was, as soon as Shanita graduated, was to get out, to move out of state, start over, start fresh. And it was all taken from him.
That reminds me of, was that Angelique and her son? Mm-hmm. There was a similar feeling there of like, he was getting out, right? I feel, unless I'm misremembering.
Same place, like, actually. Yeah. Interestingly enough, he had a family member in Georgia. And I believe, if I remember correctly, that's what Chris said that him and Shanita were planning to move to, was to Georgia. But yeah, that was what was so heartbreaking about Angelique telling the story of her son, was all she wanted to do was, you know, she had a brother down in Georgia that was going to take him in to get him out of there, to get him out of that city, to go get a fresh start. And in that case, the prosecutor wouldn't let him go, wouldn't let him move away. And then, you know, 6 months later, he ended up getting shot and killed.
Well, Garrett, I think we kind of answered your question, Garrett, when you were talking, Bob, about your experience of being on that call and really getting a chance to see Chris and his expressions and where his hesitations were and all of that. Garrett was just kind of wondering if, you know, you felt like there was optimism there, if there was pessimism there, if there was desperation there, if there was stubbornness there, just kind of gauging what we couldn't necessarily gauge in the experience of, you know, listening to Erica's lovely edited version.
Everything had a feel of reservation to it. So it was, there was definitely hope and optimism there. I felt Chris was very genuine, but I could just sense, and like I said, those pauses, those delays, you could see him thinking through what he could say. So it was like everything was kind of muted as far as, you know, being able to really read where he was coming from, because you could tell he was being so careful about what he was going to say. So I don't, you know, and that's, you know, at some point I want to arrange another call with him that's not for the podcast, because I think it would have been a different experience. Because, and it was a little bit like, we talked for a little bit before we hit record and we were just chatting off the air, and it was a little different. Like he felt much more open, much more comfortable. We had more like free flowing conversation. And then it was like, once, okay, this is, every word you say is going to go out to tens of thousands of people to hear. Then it was like, okay, now I need to be careful. So there was kind of like two phases to that. There was the conversation before and then the conversation during the actual interview. And that hope and optimism is definitely there. And the big thing that came through to me was, if I had to put a word on it, was just appreciation. He's just so thankful that his story is getting out there, that you guys are listening, that people are writing to him, that, you know, people are paying attention to the situation and trying to get justice for him and for the five victims in this case. There's just a lot of appreciation there.
It's lovely. Julie says, my heart breaks for him. So many other wrongfully convicted embrace their reality and find outlets for their situation. I feel his pain and stubbornness. I can relate. I wish him peace and hope to hell we can get him out. No way he committed these crimes.
Yeah, it's another one of, you know, several cases that we have where there's just, this is one of the few cases we've had in a long time where there's really, at least not that I've seen, there really hasn't been any pushback from, you know, an alt group that's insisting that whoever we say is innocent is guilty. Like, I haven't seen much of that. Like, this case seems to most people, I think, so obvious that he is innocent. And that just makes it so much worse for us. And, you know, I've talked about how, you know, choosing in our next case and cases in the future, that it's, you know, it's difficult from a production standpoint to have a subject that has legal representation, right? Because there's lawyers that are working on the case and they have their priorities, and their number one priority is getting them out of prison. And so it makes it difficult. You know, there's things that I just can't talk about on the podcast, or that I shouldn't and won't talk about on the podcast, because I don't want to risk, you know, the work that they're doing. And so that's the case here. But at the same time, Chris has such an incredible legal team. His case, I feel so optimistic about his case because of the attorneys that are working on it. One, not only their skill and the depth that they are going into and the work that they're doing on it, but also their drive. You know, that, like, it's an odd thing when you have a group of attorneys that have multiple clients, right? They all have lots and lots of clients, lots of things they're working on, that they have the time and energy to put so much into. You know, I can imagine there are other cases too, but this one, and I say that in the fact that, you know, if I have a question for anything on the legal team, or if I'm looking for something or whatever, and I reach out to someone on the team, I mean, it's immediate. It's 10 o'clock at night on a Saturday, and they're on it immediately. And that you don't see that kind of dedication. And I haven't talked about them that much because I can't and won't share any conversations that we have. But it needs to be said that this team, and that's all the way from Dr. Jackson and Timmy, all the way up to the actual attorneys working on the team, Mike Osbrook, all these people, like, he has a team that deeply, deeply care about him and deeply, deeply care about the outcome of his case. Because that's not normal. That's not typical for me. You know, if I have a question, because, you know, you guys, I work crazy late hours and I work 7 days a week. And so a lot of times it's, you know, Sunday afternoon, something, you know, I find something and I need an answer to it and I'll throw a question out. And, you know, and 3 days later, you get an email back. And that's just not the case with Chris's team. I mean, they're on it all the time. And if anything should give any of you hope, it's that. It's not anything that I'm doing or we're here to support. We're here to expose. We're here to help make all the information understandable so it makes sense to the general public. And I think part of what we do is we'll help frame how to present this to whether a panel of judges or in a retrial, a group of a jury, you know, because we're ordinary people talking about, you know, taking this information and breaking it down in a way that makes sense to us. And I think that in and of itself is useful, but it's going to be Chris's legal team. And that's why this one, as much as I hate to step away as far as production for a case, I never like doing that when I don't feel like we have a good resolution to it. But this is one of those instances where I was just like, I don't think there's anything else we can do here on the podcast because they got it. And just believe me when I say they've got this and he's in the best hands possible. And I think that is for all of you that are feeling very down, just, you know, we are too, but there's your hope. Your hope is right there that he has a powerful team that cares so deeply about him that I think they're going to make it happen.
That's so great to hear. From a production standpoint and a podcast listener standpoint, it is so nice that you have a great connection with his attorneys and his legal representation so that we got this like nice extended conversation with Chris this week, because there's so many times that we don't get that. We get a 10-minute jail call. You know, we are in Jamie's case, Jamie Snow's case, you were able to talk with him a lot, but it was in these 10-minute increments that you had to kind of compile and put together and fight because you're getting cut off. So to be able to have this relationship with his legal team for a podcast listener is amazing, because we get to hear Chris. We get to hear extended conversation with Chris, which is wonderful.
Yeah, because we haven't had that in a long time. We were lucky in Texas, because Texas, the phone system, at least when we were working on, you know, Ed and Jesse's case, even Sandy to some extent, like we were able to like get on the phone for 30 minutes and talk and they could call back. Yeah, we had all those issues with Jamie, with Jody in season 15. You know, that was a constant battle trying to get more than a couple minute conversation that we had in season 12. Remember that in the Pinion Pines case, there was something twice I recorded conversations with Chris and Robert.
Yeah.
And or Chris and Robert. And there was something on there's like they had some kind of scrambler on the line or something. I couldn't record it. Yeah. So in this case, you know, it was this. And I'm glad you brought that up, Zach, because, yeah, this interview was fully arranged by Chris's attorneys, who set all this up to make sure that we were able to have that conversation.
Hey, everybody, Bob here. I'm interrupting this ad break to tell you how you can never have to hear another ad and take a huge step towards helping us continue our work all at the same time. As most of you know, I provide all investigative and advocacy services to the people and attorneys that we cover on the show completely free. Over the years, we provided hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of professional investigations to the wrongfully convicted, completely free of charge. And the reason that we're able to do that is in large part thanks to the support of listeners like you. Our Patreon community funds the overwhelming majority of our work, and I want to take this opportunity to ask and encourage you to join the club. The base level membership is just $5 a month. Now, while that's only a cup of coffee's worth out of your account, it makes all the difference in the world to us and the people that we work with. And for your $5 a month, you get a whole list of extra content, exclusive just for patrons. Every week, Janet, Zach, and I do an hour-long live stream just for our patrons. You also get an unedited video version of the Friday follow-up every week, a weekly pregame podcast that drops into your podcast feed. Patrons often get to participate in interviews that we do on the show live days or weeks before the rest of the audience gets to hear them. And of course, the best part, all of our content is completely ad-free for our patrons at the $5 a month level. Patreon really is the only way that we're able to keep doing this work. And it would mean the absolute world to me, Zach, Janet, and Erica if you'd consider joining if you're able to do so. Joining the Patreon community is super easy. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. Or you can go right to the episode description of this or any episode and just click the link. Thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your support. And now I'll return you to your regularly scheduled ads. Cold days, big goals, and no time to cook. That's exactly why I've been leaning on Factor lately. They make healthy eating easy with fully prepared meals that are designed by dietitians and crafted by chefs, so you can eat well without planning, shopping, or cooking. What I really like is what goes into these meals. We're talking quality ingredients, lean proteins, colorful vegetables, whole foods, and healthy fats. There's no refined sugars, no artificial sweeteners, and no refined seed oils. The meals are built to support real goals, whether that's higher protein, better calorie management, or just eating healthier without overthinking it. For me personally, my favorite meal this week has been the truffle butter chicken with mushroom risotto and garlic roasted green beans. That's from their high protein menu, and honestly, it tastes like something you'd get from a really good home cooked dinner. Not at all like something you'd heat up in just 2 minutes. And that convenience is why Factor works for my routine. I've been taking Factor meals to school every day for lunch lately because, well, they're so simple. They're always fresh, never frozen, ready in about 2 minutes, no prep, no stress. They also keep things interesting with around 100 rotating weekly meals, including high protein, calorie smart, Mediterranean diet, GLP-1 support, ready-to-eat salads, and the new Muscle Pro collection that supports strength and recovery. Listen, I can't say this any more clearly. I eat Factor about 5 days a week. Becky eats it, and I think you should too. So head to factormeals.com/truth50off and use code truth50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year. Eat like a pro this month with Factor. New subscribers only, varies by plan. One free breakfast item per box for 1 year while subscription is active. One more time, that's factormeals.com/truth50off and use code truth50off to get 50% off and free breakfast for a year.
Bethany Frankel here from Just Be with Bethany Frankel, and I am just going to say it. The drinks aisle needs an intervention. Too many bottles and cans, all promising health and wellness, but after a glug, you just shrug and you still feel out of sync. Then there's Synergy Kombucha, the real kombucha, the real deal, made the right way for real benefits and real results you can see and feel. I love it. Synergy supports your mind and body through your gut with 9 billion living probiotics in refreshing flavors you will live for. Synergy makes kombucha with a superior craft fermentation process that delivers a delicious taste and all those probiotics. They're the good bacteria that support your body, mind, and even your skin. You're welcome. Because when your microbiome is in balance, you're back in sync and back in charge. That is what you get when your kombucha is made the right way. Don't chase fads. Don't fall for modern soda hype. Choose standards. DM at Synergy Kombucha on Instagram with the code THEREALKOMBUCHA to get a free bottle while supplies last. Synergy, the kombucha with standards.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Yeah, it makes me wonder just the thing that popped up for me as you were reminding us about Robert and Christian was that there are people there with him, including guards and so forth, that have expressed that they really believe in the guys and that they know them to be innocent. Like that they have that there are people in that, within that infrastructure on that institution, that are like, we know you don't belong here. And I wish that for every wrongfully convicted person, but we know that that doesn't exist. So I guess I'm wondering aloud without knowing the answer and without really needing an answer, but hoping that even if Chris doesn't have, you know, meaningful friendships inside, like, you sort, as you're talking about arranging that and that conversation being allowed to happen, I guess in my mind, I sort of hoped, well, maybe that's an indication of someone in that prison kind of knowing, like, he didn't do this.
I hope so. And that's another thing that is a positive impact of you all listening to this in the podcast is we've heard from many of our seasons and the people that we've worked with that, you know, they've had like guards come in. You know, I remember like Jesse telling me, he's like, you know, they're listening. And they're like, holy shit, you are innocent, you know, like, so that hopefully is having an impact as well.
Yeah, I really liked what you said about even just because I know, you know, Heather Lynn asks, is there anything we can do to influence the prosecution or do the right thing for Chris and for the victims? And you sort of answered that as well, Bob, just by talking about that incredible legal team, but also us showing up for the podcast as listeners, asking these kinds of questions, asking for clarity, asking the kinds of questions that a juror might have or that even a panel of judges might have, simple thoughts or, you know, curiosities or concerns or needs for clarification, just knowing that we may be helping. Like with Ed's case, having the podcast as this sort of record that you could present in defense of his innocence for the parole team, you know, just stuff like that.
Right.
We sometimes don't even know how much we're helping because it's not as exact as making a call to a politician or a DA and saying, hey, listen to me, or sending a tweet or whatever it is that we've been kind of conditioned to think we need to do in this day and age, that there is this sort of passive but very powerful support that's happening just by showing up as a listener.
Yeah, for sure.
I love that. Christine, I think we answered your questions. You were just kind of curious about like where those surprises were for you in some of Chris's responses, but I think you've really elucidated that beautifully in this follow-up episode about just the difference, the way different people react, and also your experience of understanding that there was, you know, a lot of kind of self-editing that seemed to be going on with Chris and what he felt he could say. But yeah, if there's anything else you want to add to any, yeah, what was surprising to you?
Well, I mean, it was a lot of that, and it was just also surprising to me, based on my experience talking to other people who were in prison wrongfully, and my kind of pre-conversation with him before we started, I was surprised that the conversation was so short. So I intentionally didn't write questions for Chris. I wrote prompts. I wanted to give him the space to speak where he was comfortable, and usually. And I think this may is some of it is that caution. And then I think some of it is too that Chris does have the support network that he has. Because a lot of times when I talk to somebody who's in prison, or you go visit somebody that's in prison, like if they're like they give you 2 hours, they're like, well, let's sit here and talk for 2 hours. Like I want somebody to talk to for 2 hours. So I was like, even when I sat down, I was like, huh, I wonder if, you know, I assume the conversation will be at least 30 minutes. It will have a nice conversation to put out on the podcast as an interview. And, you know, hopefully it doesn't run a full 2 hours, but I was prepared. Like I had blocked out like this whole block, you know, couple hour window, because I knew we had that much time that where we could talk. And then, so it was like, once we got going and it was like, it was so reserved and he was dealing, you know, talking to somebody in the media, it was like, I don't know, it was like 25 minutes in and it was like, well, I know the things that I can't ask about. I've asked you to, you know, expand on what you want. So that was just kind of surprising to me. It was like, okay, like that's as much as I'm comfortable sharing on a podcast. That was just, I don't know. And that's not, you know, that could be 90% of people in prison. I don't know. I obviously haven't talked to that many, but I've talked to a lot. And that was just kind of surprising to me. It was like, he's not wanting to waste words. Like he's going to say what he can say and what he feels comfortable saying, and that's it. And it was kind of an interesting experience. You don't see that very often. I don't see that very often.
But boy, when we hit that moment where Hugh said, is there anything else you want to add? Or, you know, whatever brought us to Chris being able to express that appreciation, that felt so unreserved to me.
Yeah. And that was, and I was hoping that came through, because it came through me, and I'm sure you heard me kind of getting choked up during that point too, because it was so like my like ebbs and flows of like thoughts and emotions about the interview while I was talking to him went through like pre-interview, like, hey, we're getting to know him, like super nice guy, this is gonna be a great conversation. And then it was like, man, I feel like I'm pulling teeth to get him to be able to say anything. He's so cautious. He's not going to say much. And you could tell that like reservation in his voice all the time. You know, he's careful and cautious about what he's saying. And then when I was just like, it was almost just the throwaway, like, all right, well, if there's anything else you want to add. And then it was like, oh, this I'm comfortable with. And then the real Chris came out. And that was like hitting me in real time. Like, and that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about how that part of it was so sad to me that he had to be so careful about what he was saying. And it's just like another set of prison bars on him that he couldn't speak. And so it was like, I was realizing that in real time when it was like, okay, this is not going to make anybody unsafe. This is not anything that's affect my case. So now you get to hear my real personality and how I really feel. And I can just be expressive in a way that I'm comfortable with. And it was like, oh, that's the guy that's in there. And then I don't know. It's, I'm having trouble expressing it myself now, but it was like, that's the guy that he had to hold back for the last 20 minutes. And that sucks.
June asked in the Facebook post how to write Chris. And then Heather helpfully posted a link, but it is on the free chrisbynum.com page. There's a little slash and a hashtag contact after that. But I feel very sure that even if you just go to freechrisbynum.com, you will be able to navigate to that.
I have it up right now. If you go to freechrisbynum.com, scroll all the way down to the bottom, there is a link to a Connect network along with his DOC number. It says you can just copy and paste and click on the Connect network button and it'll take you right there. So freechrisbynum.com.
And if any of you have ever written to Jamie Snow, I believe that's the same system that Jamie uses. So you'll be because in Texas, there's JPay. And in Illinois, where Jamie Snow is, it's the Connect Network, and I believe it's the same one. So if you're already familiar with that, it's the same platform, the way that works.
Great. Zach, thank you so much for pulling that up. That is all we have, as far as I know. Anybody wants to add?
No, I as far as I go, that is it. I'm so thankful that we got to hear Chris, because this season, I know we've moved on to season 18, but season 17, it was being so close to home and so touching. And I'm so, so happy that we finally got a chance to hear from Chris himself. So thank you, Bob.
Yeah. Like I said, it was really impactful for me to hear from him too. And now we're going to be circling back into our season 18 Justice Warriors conversation. I'm super excited this year. I'm intentionally trying to bring in, and don't get me wrong, we're going to hear from Bob Mata, we're going to hear from some of our favorites, my favorites that I love talking to. But I'm really trying to really dig deep, and that's why some of your suggestions, listeners, have been awesome. Like Stephanie Tinsley, I wasn't familiar with that podcast, and we were able to share her show and that case and meet her. So I'm like that we're getting some new people that maybe that at least I'm not familiar with to share their work, because it's really important to me. Kind of goes back to, I don't remember if Zach was in the pregame or when we were on here, when you're talking about just sometimes just finding something, finding something positive and joyous in life right now with everything that is going on. And I don't know, I've always, since I started the show, I've always said I'll never do this. I won't continue to do this work unless I feel like that there's a reason, that there's an impact in what we're doing. And I just think that there are so many people out there that are busting their asses trying to make a difference in the world. And if we can give them a platform and put new ears on their work and introduce them to new people, and if that helps them grow and helps their work get stronger, then I feel like we're accomplishing something. And so along those lines, this weekend was another listener recommendation, and I'm super excited. It was an awesome conversation. So I interviewed this weekend. I had on Shiashi and Ash from the We Are Resilient podcast. They are both Indigenous women who cover exclusively missing and murdered Indigenous people cases from within, as they say, like as insiders, people that you know, that live on the tribal lands and understand the culture and the customs to be able to share those stories. Their podcast is fantastic. The stories they tell are stories you probably never heard, which is tragic. And the conversation that we have on Sunday, that you guys will hear this Sunday, I know it was great for me. I love it when I have an opportunity that I can learn about anyone, about people, about other cultures, and about how things work. So there's a lot of, you know, that it's not a bunch of just talking about the podcast. We're really talking a lot about the culture within their tribe. And I know it's just an awesome conversation. I'm excited for you guys all to hear it. So that is coming up this Sunday. So make sure you tune into that. And we'll talk all about it in next week's follow-up, which we'll be recording most likely next Tuesday. So make sure check social media and get your questions in for that. And we'll talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Truth and Justice is an NBI Studios production, co-written and produced by Erica Bergenham. Music created and composed by Caden Ladislaw. Follow-up episodes are co-hosted by Janet Varney and Zach Weaver. Our logo font was created by Tate Krupa of Red Swan Graphic Design. Our website is created, managed, and maintained by Katie Ross of createdintandem.com. Thank you to our volunteer transcription team, Erica Cantor, Kathy McElhaney, Courtney Wimberly, Kaywood Yomnick, Danielle Rohr, Jennifer Athey, and Caroline Dwyer. Truth and Justice provides all investigative and advocacy work for the wrongfully convicted completely free of charge. We're able to do that in large part thanks to you, our listeners, through your generous pledges on Patreon. Patreon accounts for the overwhelming majority of our funding. The number one way you can support our work is to become a patron at patreon.com/truthandjustice. For just $5 a month, you'll get all episodes ad-free, a bonus pregame episode every Wednesday, and also a video version of the Friday follow-ups exclusive to our patrons. Patrons also get to participate and join the chat live in many of our interviews and get early access to much of our content. Just go to patreon.com/truthandjustice to sign up. You can also help us out by going to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star rating and review. It doesn't cost you a penny and goes a long way towards making the show more visible. If you have a new case that you'd like us to consider, you can submit your cases on our website, truthandjusticepod.com. Just click on the case submission button and fill out the form. You can always keep in touch with us through our email at theories@truthandjusticepod.com. You can like our Facebook page or join in on the conversation on the official Truth and Justice Podcast fans page. You can also connect with us on social media platform X @truthjusticepod. And to follow our personal accounts on social media, I can be found at Bob Ruff Truth. Janet can be found at Janet Varney, and Zach is at Z to the Q. However you do it, stay engaged and stay in touch. But as for now, we're signing off. I'm Bob Ruff.
I'm Zach Weaver.
And I'm Janet Varney.
And this has been Truth and Justice.
Rewards programs are a lot like pop culture. They can be hard to keep up with. But with Venmo's new rewards program, Venmo Stash, rewards are so easy because the more you do, the more you get. And you choose the bundle of brands you get cash back at. It's giving fiscal queen. It's giving star. It's giving up to 5% cash back at your favorite brands. Just pick a bundle of your go-to spots to shop with your Venmo debit card and earn cash back at them. Do more, get more with Venmo Stash. The Venmo MasterCard is issued by the Bancorp Bank N.A. Venmo Stash bundle terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at venmo.me/stash terms.
Are you a fraud-paying American? One in four tax-paying Americans has been a victim of identity fraud. With LifeLock, if your identity is stolen, they fix it, guaranteed, or your money back. Last year, billions in refunds were stolen. Could be from your salary, overtime, or second job. Gone. But this year, you don't need to stay a victim. Because this tax season, fraud-paying American is something no American should have to claim. Save up to 40% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.